Hello and welcome to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Holver, a digital nomad, world traveler, dreamer, and lover of life. Currently, I'm a social media marketer, a freelancer, and I'm totally obsessed with inspiring other women to dream bigger and live bolder. Each week, I'll be featuring women who have successfully created location-independent lifestyles that give them the freedom to live life on their own terms, and how you can do the same. My goal is to show you that your dreams are possible and how much opportunity you have to not only create an income online, but also to make a real difference. So, if you're ready to start living a life that excites you by learning from others who have already done it, then you're in the right place. Are you ready? Let's go. What's up, guys, and welcome back to the show this week. So recently I sat down with a girl that I met on Instagram. Surprise! I feel like I connect with so many of my guests on Instagram, but I just feel like it's the best platform for finding the right guests who are gonna be good fit for the show. And one of my friends actually referred me to her account because we're gonna be traveling later this year, and Krista was posting a lot of pictures from South America, which is where we're gonna go. Anyways, so I messaged her on Instagram, asked if she wanted to come on, and we sat down a couple weeks ago and it went really well. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think about this episode. So a little bit more about Krista. She is an American digital nomad who's been living around the world in over 50 countries for the last 5 years. And honestly, her story is insane. It's really cool how she kind of got started in the digital nomad lifestyle. So she has a career in marketing. She works as a marketing strategist for a startup, and she's passionate about helping others achieve a similar location independent lifestyle as she has. And she does that by sharing her large collection of travel stories on Instagram, which is at Krista Bella Travels. And I'll link that for you guys so you can go check it out. She does a ton of Q&A on her account, and she's always posting really cool pictures of the places that she's gone. She does. She gives a lot of advice, a lot of very practical advice, like how you can make this a reality for yourself, different tips for how you can find a remote job. And yeah, I've been trying to feature more people, more digital nomads who have a full-time, quote unquote, 9-to-5 with benefits. Like, she has benefits and all of the perks that come with that. So I think it's really cool to showcase all the different ways that you can achieve kind of a similar lifestyle. So yeah, with that being said, we'll go ahead and go into the show and let me know what you guys think. Hope you enjoy it.
Krista, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So if you just want to start and give us a background more about you, who you are, where you came from, and just kind of like what your journey has been up to this point.
Sure. Okay. So, my name's Krista. I am 31 years old, just had my birthday. And I am a digital nomad. I do marketing strategy for tech startups, and I do that completely remotely. I never have to go into an office. I've been doing that for 3 years, traveling literally all over the world with the same job. And prior to that, I was living in Thailand for a couple of years, which I moved to simply because I was tired of living in New York City and having no vacation time and wanted to travel. So that was kind of what like motivated this whole lifestyle change, kind of starting as an expat and then transitioning into a nomad.
Awesome. So you were living in New York City before. Were you in like the corporate route after graduating college? Like what was your degree and what was your corporate background?
Good question. So I studied journalism, which was a great major choice, I think. And anybody that wants to have a remote lifestyle, I would definitely recommend checking that out, just because communication skills is like the number one thing that you can have, I think, being a remote worker in any sense. So yeah, I studied journalism, which was just luck. I did work for a startup when I was in New York too, for the first couple of years, like I was doing digital marketing. Then I transitioned into a corporate public relations role. And that was kind of when I was like, I can't do this. So I did experience the like corporate world for real. But I also would say like the entire time that I've been working, I also have been like, I'm not an entrepreneur yet. So yeah, I still like do the 9-to-5 thing and have ever since.
Yeah. But that's so cool though. Like, I feel like a lot of people think that in order to get into the remote lifestyle, you have to be a freelancer and entrepreneur. And that's why mm-hmm. I've been really focused on trying to bring more guests to the podcast who are remote employees, because I mean, that's what I am. And I think that it's so cool because you can still have like, if you still want to work for a company or I don't know, it's just another route into this lifestyle and it's totally possible. So what made you decide to go to Thailand then? I'm curious what did you do in Thailand?
Okay, so I love talking about Thailand because it was, like I said, it was really where my new kind of life began. Like I said, I was living in New York City. I really didn't like working at this corporate job that I had. Also, I think I had seasonal depression because my apartment was really dark and my office was really dark and my apartment and office was right next to the subway. So I was just like never outside. And I just didn't have any vacation time. And then I was like, I really want to travel and get out of this city. Oh, but I have no money. Okay, now what do I do? Uh-huh. So I was kind of in the situation where I needed to figure out like a creative solution to this problem that I was having. And after a lot, like so much research, I decided that my best case scenario to like have everything that I wanted would be to teach English in Thailand. And the reason why I decided to do that was because it was very inexpensive to live in Thailand. I knew that like having a college degree and being a native English speaker and also like being a woman does help. But non-native English speakers and people without degrees also can totally go this route. It's just not as like guaranteed that you're going to get the best job. But from what I read, I was like pretty confident that I could get a good teaching job very easily if I went there. Yeah. The upfront investment wasn't too much. Like it was really just the cost of the flight. And the TEFL, TEFL, teaching English as a foreign language course, which was like maybe $1,000. And then living expenses for a couple months, and Thailand's so cheap that, so I basically had like $5,000 to my name and I moved to Thailand and the plan was to teach English. And that was just kind of a way to like, just do anything different than what I was doing. I wasn't expecting to stay as long as I did. I wasn't, planning on making like a total life change. It was just, I thought I'd be there for like 6 months. But what ended up happening was I got there. I did take my TEFL course. It took a month. I was on an island. It was amazing. I met a lot of really cool people. And then with a friend that I met, we both moved to Bangkok to find teaching jobs. It was in the middle of the semester that I was looking for a job. So like there weren't that many great options available immediately. So I thought, well, I kind of want to start making money now because I was like running out of money at that point. So I was actually on Craigslist because Craigslist exists in Thailand and in many countries.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Check it out sometime. Like look at all the countries that are on it. It's wild. So what was cool about Craigslist was like that's a website that's so well known in the United States and like in the Western world that actually like the quality of stuff that was on Craigslist Thailand was pretty high. And I found a job at a real estate website startup that was like looking for an English speaking digital marketing person. So I ended up getting a job in my field anyway, like pretty much as soon as I got to Bangkok. Very shortly after getting that job. Also, I got that job really easily, which was so cool, especially coming from New York City because there's just like not that many qualified people for jobs like that in Thailand. So when I was like, hey, I'm here and I'm qualified, they were like, great, let's hire you.
Yeah.
So pretty much got this job on the spot. Shortly after working there for a couple months, our CEO decided we should launch a print magazine. again, same situation, like there just weren't really other people available that could do this. So he was kind of like, Krista, you have a journalism degree. Why don't you make the magazine? And I literally got to be editor in chief of like a new magazine that I designed and like created the whole plan for. And like, yeah, it was amazing. It was a biannual or bi-monthly glossy, like luxury real estate magazine targeted towards expats in Thailand. And I was editor in chief for 2 years.
Wow. For 2 years?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What? That's insane.
So I never taught English, but it was like, but having the plan to teach English was what got me there in the first place. And like, I'm so grateful that I found that as an option for me, because it was like amazing having that security net, pretty much knowing for sure that if I went there, I wouldn't just be like stranded having no path.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is like, I feel like if people just want to travel, like teaching English in a foreign country is like one of the quickest and easiest ways to do
here. I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Wow, that's what a crazy story though. That just makes me want to go look at Craigslist just to see like what I can find.
There's gold in there.
Like what's on there. That's so funny. So how old were you at this point when you moved to Thailand and then when you got that editor-in-chief position?
I was 25. Actually, I guess I was 20. Was I 26? Yeah, I was 25.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's wild. All right. And then, so what happened after that? What was kind of the transition like from doing that into
what I'm doing now?
Yeah. What you're doing now.
So I look back on my time in Thailand as the best 2 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Like I loved living abroad. I really grew so much personally and professionally too. I made amazing friends that I'm still really, really close to. Like living abroad, just every single day was an adventure. Every single day was a learning opportunity. I like accelerated my career there. Like so many amazing things happened. Mm-hmm. However, it was just really far away. Like living a 12-hour time difference, a 24-hour flight, and like a $1,000 flight. I just felt like when there were kind of like some like serious things that happened at home with my family while I was away that I just felt really, I just got homesick, got the best of me.
Yeah.
And I decided it was time to go. Plus all my friends were getting married and I just felt like I was like missing out on too much stuff at home. So I decided to leave Thailand, without a plan. And I just was kind of like, I'm just going to go home and reconnect with my family and, figure out how I feel once I get there, because I was really afraid of like leaving Thailand for say a job in New York City again. I would have loved to live in New York again, but I didn't know how I would feel like emotionally about it once I got back. Mm-hmm. So I moved back home. I was like really trying to like want to be home. I really tried. I tried for a few months to like settle in and reconnect with everybody. And it was, I'm so glad that I did that. But also it made me feel like, wow, I just had a really crazy 2 years. And I feel like I'm not fitting in as well as I used to. And I knew that there was so much more to the world out there. And I had this like new sense of possibility, because like the way everything went down in Thailand was just so like, I never would have expected it. Yeah. So I kind of decided I wanted to live abroad again in a different place that was maybe a little bit closer. And I was looking for jobs abroad. I got a tip from a friend who was living in Malta, who they were like looking for a native English speaker with like my kind of skills. So I was gonna move to Malta actually, and that was gonna be the plan. I was gonna continue the expat life. But like my visa wasn't gonna process for a few months. So once again, I was on Craigslist for a short-term part-time position just to kind of like give me a little bit of cash like until my visa processed. And I found this company that was just looking for writers at the time. So I was like, oh, perfect. Like I can do writing stuff. And turned out that the job was for a startup, and I like got along with my boss really well. And while I was, I was working as a contractor for this company for a few months. And I just like took a quick trip. Literally, it was supposed to be a 2-week trip to Costa Rica over New Year's. And I brought my laptop with me because I was like, why wouldn't I just make a little bit of money or like do some of my contract work while I was in Costa Rica? Because it was better than being in Boston where my family lives, which is freezing cold in January.
Yeah.
And it was when I was there that I was offered a full-time position with this startup looking to hire their first marketing employee. Wow. And I had never heard of being a digital nomad before. Like, I didn't know it was a thing.
Huh.
I was at the pool and I was with my laptop and it was sunny. And I was like looking at the weather back in Boston being like, what? And then the weather in Malta too. And I had had other hesitations about moving to Malta, like that it was just a small island and I wasn't sure if I was want to like stay there forever. So I just kind of had this realization that I should just continue doing exactly what I was doing. So I took that remote position. Because I asked on the phone, like, as I was kind of being offered this job, I was like, well, I'm in Costa Rica now. Like, do you need me to be in DC where the office is located? Do you need me to be back in New York, which is where I originally met the guy that hired me? And he was just like, I don't care where you are. Like, as long as you're online when you need to be online, as long as you have Wi-Fi when you are good quality Wi-Fi to do your job, like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, you can be anywhere, I guess.
Wow.
So I canceled my return trip home and I stayed in Costa Rica. And then I met all these people that were going to Nicaragua. So I went with them to Nicaragua and I did my job from Nicaragua. And then I heard that Colombia was a place that had a lot of remote workers. So I came down to Colombia and did my job from Colombia and then Ecuador and then back to Nicaragua and then to Brazil. And then 6 months later, I went home.
Wow.
That's how it started.
That's literally insane. What strikes me the most from when you were talking is how things just seem to line up. Like, it's not like things just fell in your lap, but it kind of seems like, things like happened and it's just crazy how stuff like that works. I don't know. One of the questions I had was when you were offered the marketing position at that startup, was that something where he had other employees that were virtual? Because I'm just kind of surprised that if he had like an office in DC that he was just so immediately open to you working remotely. I mean, was it like, is that normal for them?
No. Okay. So that's a really good question. So I think like startups in general are much more open-minded to this kind of thing for a lot of reasons. But yeah, so basically, like, long story short, the CMO who I work with and who hired me had worked with the founders of this company who were based in DC in previous companies in previous years. And then they were like, hey, do you want to work with us on our next project? And he was like, I don't live in DC anymore. I live in New York. So they were like, it's fine. We trust you. So he was already working remotely from New York, but like working from home, you know, in the way that like people work from home, which is totally right. Not a foreign concept to anyone.
Right.
So I think like he was already working from home from New York. So a long train ride away from the office and wasn't going in every day. And then when I met him, I was in New York at the time. So it probably like felt like I would be around. So I think like it wasn't really his idea or intention to hire a digital nomad. It wasn't my intention to be a digital nomad either. I didn't even know what that was.
But
I just like, yeah, we just had this conversation that I was like, well, I'm in Costa Rica, so what do you think? And he was just kind of like, I guess I don't see why you need to be anywhere. Like, cause I'm not in DC. And I was like, I'm not going to move to DC. And I was like, I could live in New York. And he was like, but I'm working from home anyway. So even if you were in New York, we probably wouldn't be seeing each other all the time. So it just was kind of like, there was just sort of no reason to say no.
Yeah.
And anyway, since then we've scaled the marketing team and now like a bunch of my colleagues are digital nomads and they travel all over the world. And them, I just like worked with for a few weeks in Colombia where I am now. Another one I travel with all the time. So I think like once I started doing it and I was successful at it, because also when I started doing it too, I was like, I felt like I won the lottery. I could not believe that I was like, that this was real. Because again, I had never heard of being a digital nomad before. So I was just like, I am not going to mess this up.
Exactly.
When he was like, just be online when you need to be online, I really took that to heart. And when he said, make sure you have good Wi-Fi, I really took that to heart. So I kind of like set the tone for my company that it, like, if you were going to work remotely, it was extremely, extremely important to be super diligent about like always having good quality Wi-Fi. Like, it was never acceptable to not have it. And it was never acceptable to like be an hour late for work, kind of like an office. Like,
right.
So anyway, now I kick myself a little bit. Like, why did I establish these tight restrictions for my whole company? But in the end, I feel like, my boss is, he's only ever worked in corporate settings. So this is like totally new for him too. So I feel like because I was so diligent about always sticking to my 9-to-5 schedule and like really making sure that my location never, ever, ever affected him or anyone, that there was just no reason to ever argue about where I was, because right. It just literally didn't matter.
Yeah, that's amazing. You have to be so diligent and so, I mean, yeah, you just have to be so motivated every day. And like you said, why would you mess that up when you had it? Like, why would you do anything to like compromise the lifestyle that you had not having good Wi-Fi? And yeah, it sounds like you proved that and helped it the rest of the other people on your team do it too.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about like what your startup is, and like what exactly you do and how you've kind of grown with the company.
Sure. The company is called Bubble Up. It's spelled BUBLUP. It is a cloud storage system. It's a visual cloud storage system. You can imagine Pinterest meets Dropbox, where you can bookmark links and save files in the same visual format.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what the startup does. And, like being with a startup, there's always different things that you can be doing. So throughout my time there, I've like spearheaded an influencer campaign. I've like gotten to do a lot of stuff with like UI and UX, like with the actual app itself and working directly with engineers. I've learned about like, yeah, just all kinds of digital marketing specifically for tech startups and consumer apps.
Cool.
So yeah, it's been a great learning experience. I've gotten to do a ton of different stuff. And I don't know if I would have gotten this job if I hadn't moved to Thailand, which is the best part.
Wait, why? But
just because like a lot of my experience, like creating a magazine, was like a startup project that I was able to prove that like I was given a project that I didn't know what I was doing when I was given the project, and I figured it out anyway. And I think like, you know, with a startup, like I had never really worked on an app before, but because I had these other startup experiences where I kind of like proved that I was a good communicator and that I was just like kind of like down to get my hands dirty, that that is sort of like what the transferable skills were.
Yeah. Wow. I still can't get over your Thailand story and then like how you landed this like remote marketing gig. It's just, it's like seriously like the best, one of the best stories I've heard. Cause you weren't even looking to be a digital nomad. That's why it's so funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be fair, like this was over 3 years ago now. And being a digital nomad, like the reason why I hadn't heard of it, cause it wasn't so much of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, since then, so many companies have sprung up catering towards this demographic of people. And I see it growing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But like I talk to other people who have been nomadic for like 3 to 5 years or whatever. And they all say the same thing. Like when they started, there weren't that many people in the community. There weren't as many opportunities. like Wi-Fi wasn't as widely found in developing countries as it is now. So just like everything's just growing so rapidly that I mean, I just like, it kind of happened to me by accident at the time. Luckily, like I was in the right place at the right time, or I was with communicating with the right people. But now I think like, yeah, it happened to me a little serendipitously. But at the same time, you know, like I was putting myself in situations where these things could happen to me.
Yeah.
I was open-minded to accepting like, you know, kind of like an unconventional job situation. So I made it work for myself. And now like people ask me all the time how to be a digital nomad. And even though I've personally never gone and like specifically applied for jobs with the intention of being a digital nomad, I have full confidence that anybody listening to this can for sure find opportunities and land opportunities if they position themselves the right way.
No, I totally agree. It's so much about being open, willing to say yes to things. And I feel like that's exactly what you went through. Like when you went to Thailand, you were saying yes to moving abroad, opening yourself up to teach English. And then the opportunity came for the magazine and you just figured, why not? That experience led you to getting more experience in your field, for having more qualification for what you're doing now. And I totally agree. It's like all the things that I've said yes to, it's like they snowball on top of each other, but it just really comes down to being open-minded and willing to take the unconventional route, even if you don't really know like why, where it's coming from or why. It's just, yeah, I agree. It's putting yourself out there for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Cool. So speaking of giving advice, you said you have a bunch of people who always ask you kind of how to get into the digital nomad scene and everything. Since you're kind of like a veteran to this, for people who are wanting to have this kind of lifestyle, what are some of the top things you would say to them?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Good question. So, first of all, like you said, you have to be open-minded.
Yeah.
Working remotely is something that like, it's new to a lot of industries. I happen to do marketing, which is like, I think an industry that lends itself really easily to remote work. Mm-hmm. But I just met a girl last night who's a human rights lawyer, and she works remotely. I have met interior designers who work remotely. I have met real estate agents who work remotely. Like there's literally, doctors who work remotely. There's like apps and stuff that they can give medical consulting on. So I would say like, no matter what your profession is right now, don't ever just assume that because you're not in digital marketing or because you're not an engineer or developer that you can't work remotely, because like you might not be able to do the exact same thing that you're doing, but you can probably take at least some fundamental or important skills that you have that you're doing in your job and leverage it into a remote position. Mm-hmm. So like number one is basically just like keep an open mind and like really try to think about any way that you can kind of take your current experience and knowledge and turn it into something remote. That being said, then the next thing is like, there are lots of places online where you can find remote opportunities. There are like, I literally know a dozen, websites that are specifically for remote opportunities. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of them out there. They're competitive though, because a lot of people want to work remotely, not just because they want to travel, but because maybe they want to spend time at home with their kids. Mm-hmm. So then the next thing is like how to position yourself well in order to, prove to an employer that you're the best person for the job, which happens to be a remote job. Mm. All right. So then this is the important stuff, that I think a lot of people like don't really understand at first, is that, like when you're applying for literally any job, best practice is don't focus on why you want the job, because you're applying for the job. the employer knows you want the job. So they don't really care. They don't need to know why you really want this job. It's nice to be passionate, but like, you can only get so far with passion. What the employer wants to know is how you're going to help them achieve their bottom line. How are you going to help them make more money? How are you going to help them get more exposure? How are you going to help them streamline their efforts and anything? So like, anytime you apply for a remote job, just think about it as not a remote job, but just as a job. Like, how can you help them? So to focus on what your skills and experiences are, and why you are just going to be a rock star, and like that, why this company is never going to want to let you go. And if you don't have, like say you're applying for an entry level position, where you don't necessarily need to have, you know, like a lot of specific skills or experiences, the best things that you can focus on is why you would be successful working from home. And you're not going to be successful working from home because you have kids. You're not going to be successful working from Costa Rica because you'd rather sit by a pool. That's not why you're going to be successful. You're going to be successful because you are an excellent communicator, that you're very punctual with, like, you know, showing up to meetings, even if they're virtual, that you can, that you've like studied the art of writing an effective email, that like, to focus on stuff like that, like tangible, like technical skills and communication skills. That's what's going to make an employer pick you over someone else who is equally as passionate, but might not, be the best communicator.
Oh, so good. Yeah. No, those are amazing tips. And I'm sure you've seen that too from, I mean, because you've been working with this company for over 3 years now. So I'm sure you've seen like people come in and out. Have you seen like different people applying? Like, I don't know if you handle like the hiring or help with the hiring at all.
What's really crazy about my company is like, we have an extremely low turnover rate.
Huh.
No one wants to leave.
No one wants to leave.
I actually have not seen a single person quit.
Wow.
Like, literally the entire time. And that is really something important that I think, like, if someone is working in an office and they want to convince their boss to let them go remote, which actually is like a recommendation that I would love to make to anyone listening, because if you already have a job, like, you might as well try to get that job to be remote rather than finding an entirely new job and going remote. Because when you just like start working remotely, that there's so many things that you need to learn about managing your lifestyle, that learning a new job while you're doing that, it's just like, I imagine it would be a lot. So if you can cut one of those things by keeping your same job that you're already good at, why not? What was I just saying about?
You were saying, because you had really low turnover with your company. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, that's a huge benefit for employers, like, to not have to go through the process of looking for new people every time somebody, you know, like, decides to jump ship.
That's a huge compliment to your company too. I mean, do you think it's because you have really good company culture, or why do you think the turnover is so low?
I mean, I think the company culture is big. But it's just so flexible. Like, yeah. Like, why would anyone leave? Really? Like, you're getting your salary and benefits and whatever, and you just, your lifestyle can be literally whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like I like my day-to-day tasks. Like, I actually enjoy my job, but even if I didn't, it still would be hard to leave, because like, every other part of my life is so fulfilled.
Yeah.
Because I can live my life literally exactly how I want. Like, it's all in my terms.
Yeah.
So I think, like, maybe it's the company itself, or just the fact that they're flexible is huge.
You know,
so, yeah, for companies, like, having a low turnover rate is a big benefit for them. Employee satisfaction. Like, nobody really calls out sick, because you don't need to go anywhere to do your job. You can kind of just like sit in bed all day if you want. So why would you use one of your PTO days for being sick? Like, you might as well save it for an actual vacation.
Yeah.
So there's like very few unexpected absences. There's all kinds of other benefits for employers too. Zero overhead. Mm. Literally, they bought me a laptop like 2 years ago, and that's the only expense that I have incurred on them, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing.
So yeah, all kinds of great reasons for someone to convince their boss to let them go remote.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I love hearing all of those. You gave some great tips. Yeah. So that would be helpful. So I'm just curious to hear, since you have been a digital nomad for a while, how has this lifestyle, like switching over to your personal lifestyle, how has it really changed things for you, I guess? Like, what are the, I guess, things you've learned being a digital nomad, or how has it really changed like your life as a whole, having this type of lifestyle you do?
I think a lot about my life, like pre-Thailand versus like pre-nomadism. I mean, I don't know, like, I guess when I was living in New York, I really thought that I was happy there, and I was, like, and if I had never decided to move to Thailand because I never had a job that I, like, really didn't like that much, and I had stayed in New York, I'm sure I would still be happy, and, like, everything would be fine. I was terrified before I moved to Thailand. I kid you not, I had 2 panic attacks before I went. Like, I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? This is crazy. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. I think I'm crazy. Like, I just really, I was super scared. I didn't really know anybody else who had ever done anything like this. And then I got there and I only was having really positive experiences, that it was a very mind-opening, living there was a very mind-opening experience. I continue to have mind-opening experiences all the time because of the people that I'm meeting, and just like feeling, I just am so much more confident in myself now than I ever was, because I guess I just feel like I did that and I made it work, and I jumped into unknown situations and it worked, and like, I'm okay. And, even if something bad happened, like even if I like lost all my money and like had to move back to my parents' house, like that would have not been ideal for me. But at the same time, like that kind of would have been the worst that would have happened. And that's not really that bad.
Exactly. No, it's so true when you think about it in that way, like what's the absolute worst that could happen? And then you say it out loud and you're like, well, like I could live with that. Like I'd be okay.
Yeah.
Just, I feel like it just makes things less, maybe less scary.
Yeah. My mom always said, leap and the net will appear.
Yes. And love that saying.
That really resonates with me. It did at the time, and it just continues to ever since. And that's kind of been like I would say that phrase is sort of a very symbolic of like my pre versus post moving abroad.
Yeah. I love that. And it's shown that that has been true for you. That has been true for you.
So. I'm a risk taker now.
So obviously, you know, the show is called Chasing the Freedom. And I always ask this question to my guests. So what does freedom mean to you now? And has it changed at all with the lifestyle that you're living now?
For me, freedom means, deciding that I want to be a certain kind of person, or have a certain lifestyle, or like live by a certain ethical code, and having the ability to do that. I would say I'm free pretty much. I'm not quite free from my 9-to-5. I still have to stick to my work schedule. So
yeah.
It's hard to be totally free. And if you are totally free, you're really, really lucky.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's something different for everyone. Like, it doesn't always even have to be in regards to work. I think it's just, yeah, I mean, whatever it means to you, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But has it changed? I think so, because I think if you asked me like a year ago, I just was very much like, I'm gonna probably live the nomad life for a long time. And like, for me to be free, I just like, for me, it kind of meant traveling. And then this year, I kind of started feeling like maybe I want to slow down a little bit. Like, maybe I don't want to be traveling as quickly. Maybe I don't want to be having so many like brand new travel experiences, because they can be kind of exhausting when I'm trying to be productive. So I guess I feel like even if I were living in like a, you know, the same place for a while, it wouldn't make me less free, because I'd be living there because I want to be there. Mm. And that is freeing, like freeing. Yeah. It's just being able to do what you want, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Freedom of choice. It sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good. Oh, I really like that. And then just one last thing kind of about your Instagram, actually, cause you're very active on Instagram and I love your feed. What kind of inspired you to kind of put yourself out there more? Did you just want to like help people? Are you trying to turn that into anything? Because you give a lot of great tips for the digital nomad life. And I was just curious what kind of spurred you to do that in the first place.
So Instagram is such a funny thing. I really like started trying hard to grow my Instagram this past summer. So maybe like 8 months ago.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, like I went through a breakup this summer and I just was really like, didn't want to leave my room. And I just was using Instagram a lot because I was just didn't want to do anything else.
Yeah.
And I started noticing how the more I engaged with other people, the more my account started to grow. Mm. I also like had recently started getting more into photography. So like that's always been something that I've been interested in. But I guess like around the same time I realized how I could use Instagram as like sort of a portfolio, also as a way to document my travels, because I kind of was not using Facebook so much. And one of the reasons why I was like, I'll never go to Facebook is because it has so many memories in it for me. Okay. I could just like transition my like memory recording into Instagram.
Yeah.
So learning how to take and edit photos was sort of happening around the same time that I just was like spending a lot of time on Instagram. And also like, because for work, I was needing to learn about social media. I just thought like I should study this and like see if I can actually do it. Like, how do these people grow their following so much? Like, how do these people attract thousands of people? So for anyone listening, like if you want to learn how to grow your Instagram, it's not luck. It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is dedication. It is practicing, and it's like communicating and building relationships. Yeah, anyone who has like thousands and thousands of followers, it's because they really put in the work. And if you want to put in the work, I'm sure whoever you are and whatever you look like and whatever you do, you can do it too. It's just kind of like an input output direct relationship.
Yeah, totally. I did social media marketing for different online entrepreneurs and small businesses like this past year and a half. And yeah, there's so much strategy that goes into it, especially with growing accounts. Like it's not luck at all. It's not the way you look, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much, like you said, strategy and specific tactics and everything. So
yeah. Curious. And to answer your question, like, so I would say that like being genuinely helpful is a strategy of mine. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool. Like it's actually something I'm really passionate about doing. So yeah, I share a lot of tips and like personal stories and stuff on Instagram because I've gotten feedback that one, it inspires people, mm-hmm. and two, that it helps people like learn about this digital nomad movement, which I feel really strongly about. Like I said, I've seen it grow so much over the years, and that's exciting for me because it directly benefits me to have the movement be bigger. Like the more people there are, the more companies that are going to cater towards me and what I want. And the more friends I'm going to have, and the more friends that I have that do the same thing, the more sustainable it is, the more enjoyable it is. I am personally motivated to like grow the community, and to educate other people. And it's fun for me. Like I like helping people. So one of these days I'm going to figure out how to monetize it. Right now it's just like kind of a hobby and sort of a portfolio.
Yeah, that's amazing though. I love it. And yeah, definitely like using what you're passionate about, helping people is like one of the biggest things. If you can offer people value in some way and make them, you know, give them any type of help or advice, then, you know, you're much more likely to grow, I think, just if that's something that you want to do. So I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think and hope that the people that follow me, like they're following me because I'm giving when
totally.
So yeah,
no, it is. I mean, that's why I was attracted to your account. Cause I was like, wow, there's tons of information on it. And yeah, it was great. So if you guys want to check it out, I'll link her account in the show notes. So you guys can go find her on Instagram. It's super helpful. So Krista, this has been so fun. You seriously gave so many tangible, practical tips, which is what I love. I love it when people just get very specific and helpful. So you said so many amazing things, and I think the people listening will get a lot of takeaways. If there's any like final advice or any final words that you want to leave the listeners with, is there anything that you want to say to kind of wrap this up?
Leap and the net will appear. If you are like interested in this lifestyle at all, and I'm assuming that if someone is listening to this whole episode and they've gotten to this point, that they're pretty interested, start taking action and start manifesting, because like I said earlier, I think anyone really can make it happen for themselves. It's just work and kind of being aware of what your options are. So if anyone wants to message me on Instagram, I try to respond to every single message that's like, you know, a genuine question. So reach out.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. This was super fun, and I'm glad we got to connect and talk more. So this is great.
Keep in touch for sure. It was fun.
For sure. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.